Tonight we're going to learn the Vilna Gaon on Megillas Esther. Okay, we're going to learn in the Kol Eliyahu, which is a collection of the Torahs of the Vilna Gaon. So there are about 8 or 9 Purim Torahs, maybe 10 Purim Torahs. And we'll see how far we can get. Okay, but it goes basically in the order of the Megillah. Okay, so the first one is Kuf Lamed Daled, because again, this is the middle of the Sefer, but it was Kuf Lamed Daled is the first Vart of Megillas Esther. Okay, again, Kedarko Bakodesh, the Vilna Gaon has many different styles. So let's see. Megillah opens, tells us that Achashverosh had 127 Medinot. Sheva Ve'esr V'meya Medina. Amru Chazal V'Medrash, Chazal tell us in the Medrash, that the 127 territories or provinces that Achashverosh ruled over, 100 of them were on dry land, and 27 were out at sea. Islands, I don't know. That's what the Medrash says. Meya medinos al yabasha, v'shev v'esrim al hayam. 100 on dry land, 100 territories on dry land, and 27 territories at sea. Islands, I guess. V'yish l'ramis os b'kra. So the Vilna Gaon, again in his unique style, says, if you look at the end of the Megillah, you actually see a hint to this Medrash. Again, the beginning of the Megillah tells us he rules 127 provinces. The Medrash tells us it's broken down 127. The Gra says, look at the end of the Megillah and you'll see a remez to this. Why? Because it says in the last parak of the Megillah, the very small 10th parak of Megillah Esther, Vayosem ha-melech ha-chashverosh mas al ha-aretz v'iye hayam. Now let's get the pashup shot down. The king, Achashverosh, placed a mas, what's a mas? A tax. He placed a tax on the land and the islands of the sea. That's the pashup shot. Achashverosh taxed people. Okay, everyone's trying to figure out why is this the last, almost the last pasuk in the whole Megillah. After the story's over, Achashverosh collects taxes. What's it doing there? What's it telling us? But the Gros saw a remes. The Gros saw a remes in the pasuk that Achashverosh what? Played, again, pashup shot is taxes on the land and also on the islands. Says the Gra, no. It says mas al haaretz. What's the gematria of mas? Mem and samach. Mem and samach is 100. So mas al haaretz, 100 territories he had on the land. V'iyei hayam. And how many did the Medrash say he had at sea? 27. So what's the gematria of v'iyei hayam? What's v'iyei? Is 27. Vav aleph yod yod. It's 27. So mas al haaretz, v'iyei hayam. 100 on land. 27 at sea. Okay, and again, it's a beautiful remez. Okay. It shows how the Medrash is hinted to in the Megillah, but it also connects to the end of the Megillah and the beginning of the Megillah. Because the Megillah begins 127 provinces, and the end, there's a hint to the breakdown of the 127. 100 by land, and 27 by sea. Again, every letter, every word. So that's the Derech of the Grah. Okay? All right, Kuf Lamed Hei, the next os. Achashverosh is making a party. And being the big Baal Gaiva that he is, the purpose of his party is to show off his wealth. Now we need to understand where Achashverosh got his wealth from. And we need to understand why he made his party for 180 days. So the Vilna Gaon says, I'll tell you the secret. Baharoso es osher kvod malchuso. That at his party he displayed his wealth, the glory of his kingdom. Vesyakar teferes gedulaso yomim rabim. For many days he, again, put on a display of kavod, a great honor. Shemonim u'ma'asiyom, 180 days. So the Vilna Gaon says, what's 180 days? And what was the nature of his displaying of his wealth? So the Gaon says, it's pashut. Hinei b'pasuk zeh rabu hadikdukim. There's much to infer from this pasuk. V'yesh levayer. We can explain as follows. D'yadua shetatraf otros shahayil l'nebuchadnezzar. The 1,080, tough resh pei. The 1,080... Otsros. And Otsar means a storehouse, a treasure house. The 1,080 treasured possessions of Nebuchadnezzar ended up by Achashverosh. Taman Osam ben Nahar. Nebuchadnezzar, when he realized his demise was near, he didn't want anyone else to fall into his wealth, so he hid his 1,080 Otsros in the ocean or in some river. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed it to Koresh. Bishvil Shepakad Livnos Beis HaMikdash. Hashem revealed that wealth to Cyrus, to Koresh, because Koresh was going to be active in building the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem said, let's take Nebuchadnezzar's money, and let's make a tikkun out of it and put it into the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, the end of the story was that Achashverosh came to power, And Achashverosh, we know from the Pesukim and Ksuvim, Achashverosh stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and he took all the money for himself. The Yarash, where it's underlined, the Yarash Osam Achashverosh. So again, 1,080 treasures that belonged to Nebuchadnezzar were hidden in a river. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed it to Koresh because Koresh was going to build the Beis HaMikdash with it. Koresh, unfortunately, was eventually replaced by Achashverosh, who took the money for himself. So now let's try to understand Achashverosh's party. The Inyan HaMishta, well, you know why Achashverosh made a party? No one, Achashverosh, as big of a lowlife as he was, he wasn't going to invite people so he can count his money in front of them. You don't invite a king from a neighboring country, come watch me display my wealth. So you know what he did? He made a party. He made a party, and everyone came to the party, and once already there, then Achashverosh showed off, because he couldn't resist. The Inyan HaMishta Haya, Kedei Laharos Es Ashro Lefnei HaParsimim, V'Sari HaMedinos. The real purpose of the party was to show off how rich he was. Kedei Limtzochein Beinayim, in order to gain pleasure in the rabbis. Ach Ein Derech Lekrosam Kach Levaharosam. It would be inappropriate, or would be a little bit awkward if he just invites them to show off his wealth. So he made a nice party. Lachein Asam Mishta. And then while everyone's enjoying, he started to display his wealth so they'd realize how powerful he is, and they'd be mevatel themselves to him. V'hera lehem, now listen carefully, here's the punchline. V'hera lehem shisha otzos b'chol yom. How many treasures did Achashverosh display every day? 6. How do you know that? Because the Pasuk says so. Chazal say, and the Mefarshim explain, how many phrases in the Pasuk talk about honor or glory or displaying something of splendor or beauty? Osher, 1. Kavod, 2. Malchus, royalty, nobility, 3. Yikar, which means also kavod, 4. Tiferes, gedulaso. Each of these 6 phrases alludes to a different display of his glory. So if Achashverosh inherited, the Medrash says, 1,080 treasures, and he displayed 6 a day, so how many days would it take for him to display everything? 180 days. 180 days, 6 treasures a day is 1,080 otzos. So if you want to understand why Achashverosh made his party 180 days, that's the secret. The 6 words in the Pasuk which refer to the beauty and the splendor and all the riches that he stole mamish from the Beis HaMikdash, kemat, were being put on display. Lachein asa mishta shmonu ma'asyom, a party of 180 days, and that's what the Pasuk is saying. V'hashtu ha'perish ha'pasuk kachu. Here's how to read the Pasuk. Bishnas shalosh l'malcho. In the 3rd year of his reign, Asamishta, he made a party. What was the purpose of the party? Behar Oso, as Osher, Kavod, etc., etc. For the purpose of displaying his wealth. Ratzalomar, Be'osan Yamim, during those days of the party, he displayed his wealth for how many days? Yamim Rabim, for many days. And if you want to know exactly how many days, says the Pasuk, 180 days. 6 words in the Pasuk, 180 days, 1,080 treasures displayed. All under the, again, false presentation that, oh, I'm making a party for my friends. It was really nothing other than a gaivadik display of his wealth. Okay, and that's all hinted to in the pasuk. Okay. Now the next one's a good var. A really good var. Again, the Gra, yeah, he puts together such outstanding bekias. It's amazing. Okay, kuf lamed vav. Oh, it's kuf lamed vav. Batimain hamalka vashti lavo. Yeah? Of course, the pervert that he is, he summons his wife. Chazal say he wanted her to appear wearing nothing other than the crown to display her beauty. And of course, she was embarrassed to do that. Whereas Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicted her in such a way that she didn't look good at that time. She grew a tail, she had tzaras, whatever it is. And Vashti refused to come. And the Pasuk says, Vayiktsof HaMelech Ma'od V'chamaso Ba'araba. The king became, Vayiktsof, Ketzef, he got very angry. And his rage flared within him. 2 expressions of anger. He was angry about 2 things. Right? Again, look at the words. Vayiktsof HaMelech Ma'od, the king displayed great anger, and his rage burned within him. So what was it that he was able to display his anger, his disappointment? And what part of what went wrong did he have to keep to himself? So the Vilna Gaon says as follows. The Gemara asks to Megillah Yud Beis Amud Beis, Amai Dalka Be Kuli Hai? Why was he so angry? She didn't want to come out naked, of course. So her husband's drunk and he's acting like a pervert, so he's going to kill her over this? It has to be such a big public affair, he had to make such a big deal out of this. Says the Gemara, my dulka be kuli hai, why was he so angry? Because you need to know how she responded. The Gemara says, Mashani, the Gemara answers, Amar Rabba, Shochale, she sent him the following letter. She basically said to him, Ahasuerus, you're a lightweight. My father used to drink a lot, and he could hold his liquor. You had a couple of l'chaims, and you're acting like a clown. That's basically what she says to him. Let's look at the words inside. She says to him, Ahurire de Abba, stable boy of my father. Now, I'm not sure if Ahasuerus was actually a state. She came from royalty, Vashti. So I'm not sure if he's saying that Ahasuerus was actually a farmhand to her father. He worked with the horses in the stable. Or she was just speaking in a derogatory way. But she says to him, Shomer Hasusim. Yeah? She said, he's the melech of the whole world, the civilized world at the time. She calls him, you lowlife. Right? You stable boy. Abba, top of the left side of the page. Abba, lakabel chamra shasi velo rave. My father could drink 1,000 times more than you and not get drunk. Vahu gavra. And this person, referring to her husband, Achashverosh. This guy, ishte, he drinks a little and he's saying disgusting things. So she mocked him. She said, compared to my father, you're a clown. V'hinei. Kola over muchrach lishtome. So anyone who reads this has to wonder. Ma parecha gamar. So if that's what she wrote to him, so what's the gemara asking? The gemara says, what did he get so angry about? If your wife wrote a letter like that to you, if you're the king of the world, of course it's chutzpedek. So what's the gemara even asking when it says, amai dalka be kuli hai? Why was he so angry? Of course he was so angry. And she didn't just say no. She didn't just say, my silly husband, I'm not in the mood. She wrote back a nasty letter. Of course he was so furious. V'chilo hayalo, where it's underlined. V'chilo hayalo lichos shemar debo b'fnei ha'parsimim v'chol ha'sarim v'lo ratzal lasos ritzono. She publicly embarrassed him. Of course he's furious. Says the Gra, no, look carefully. Two types of anger. What are the two types of anger in the Pasuk? Katzef and Chema. What's the difference? Amnam yesh lomar de'inyan kachu. Hine katzef, anger that's called katzef, that type of anger, hu begaloi, is the type of anger that's displayed openly. When a person's fuming, you can see that they're angry. Like the Pasuk says in Hosea, ki katzef al p'nei mayim. Katzef is on the face of something. It's displayed. It's outward. Chema, anger, wrath, is that it burns internally. So the Pasuk says, Ahasuerus was externally angry and internally angry. Why? The Gemara says, that's the question. Amai dolka bei kulehai. Ratzalomar, if he's angry on the outside, what was he still angry on the inside for? The Gemara says, usually when a person gets angry, he lets off some of that steam. But Ahasuerus was still burning up on the inside, even though he was explaining, he was displaying his anger externally. So says the Gemara, here's the answer. She wrote him this letter. Yeah? So what part of his anger could he display? The fact that he told everyone, my beautiful wife's going to come out here, and she didn't listen. Right? So he was publicly embarrassed in front of everyone else. What part of his anger did he not display? The contents of the letter, right? Or the way that she responded. If you're Ahasuerus's messenger, and you were sent to get Vashti, and Vashti says, go tell Ahasuerus he's a lightweight, stable boy compared to my father. You can't say that in front of everyone. You'll get killed also. So he whispered in the ear of Ahasuerus, you know, Vashti didn't just say she's not coming. She told us to tell you very nasty words. So as far as the fact that she rejected her husband, that anger he could display publicly because everyone knew about it. But he promised he was going to come out and she didn't come out. Right? But the fact that she spoke to him in such a way, he's not going to tell everyone. That'll make himself a bigger fool. He's not going to announce to all of the officers and noblemen of all the countries that my wife said such things about me. So that's what the second part of the pasuk is. V'chamaso ba'arabo. That there was a wrath that burned inside of him because she said a nasty thing to him, but he had to keep that to himself. Okay? Ketzef is external, and chema, that anger, that wrath, is burning internally. And that's what Vashti wrote to him, which was kept a secret. He kept the bizyonos to himself, obviously. It was smart of him to. But he didn't have peace of mind because of the way that she spoke to him. Okay? All right, Kuf Lamed Zayin, number 4. Vayomer Mamucha. Right? Ahasuerus turns to his officers and says, what should I do with Vashti? Turns to the Chachamim, his advisors. What should I do with Vashti? So the Gemara says, Vayomer Memuchan, Haman, who's Memuchan, spoke first. There were a lot of smart people there. A lot of people had what to say. And Haman, being the fool that he was, he spoke up first. Which means that he would be responsible for killing Vashti. Which means later when Ahasuerus changes his mind about what he did, he's going to be angry at Haman. Says the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Beis, Mikan, from here we learn that Haman spoke first, Shehedyot Kofetz Barosh. That a hedyot, that a fool, that a simpleton, speaks up first. A smart person listens and wants to understand and thinks before he speaks. But Vayomer Memuchan, Haman spoke right away. Says the Vilna Gaon, how do you know Haman spoke right away? It just says Haman spoke. What else could you say? You could say all the Chachamim spoke, but Haman's opinion was accepted. So that's why the Megillah writes Vayomer Memucha. Maybe everyone spoke. How do you know only Haman spoke? How do you know he jumped ahead of everyone because he was a gaivadikal loudmouth that he spoke first? Says the Vilna Gaon, L'chor Kasha, Eich Mochiach Mikanzos. How do you know for sure that he spoke in front of everyone? The Efter Shagam Asarim Hayu Omer Mikodem Eitzos Shonos. Maybe everyone gave advice before Haman spoke. And maybe Achmachmas Shiniskayim Divrei Memuchan, because his words were accepted, that's why it's written in the Megillah. L'hachi lo nichtav el dvarav. That's why only his words are written down. How do you know that Haman's a fool? Chazal are mocking him. They're saying Vayomer Memuchan. He spoke first, and he was the least knowledgeable of all of them. Why? How did Chazal know that? So says the Gra, you got to read Pesukim carefully. V'nira shadiyuka mehadichsif. Right? The Chassam Sofer, by the way, said that the light of Megillas Esther, the aura of Megillas Esther, is higher than Torah's Moshe. Imagine? Chassam Sofer said the aura, the pnimius of Megillas Esther is even higher than the Torah of Moshe, which means God's book, the Chumash, the Torah. Only the Chassam Sofer can say such a thing. It has to be understood properly. But the Vilna Gaon says, if the Vilna Gaon is paying close attention to every letter of Chumash, even more so, Megillas Esther, you got to be medayik every word. Yerushalmi says, it's nitein liyidarish. Every word of it's meant to be expounded. Everyone's saying that. Weinberger said that before he saw Rav Kluger's Sefer on Purim, he said, I didn't know what Purim was. In every generation, there's new Sfarim, there's new... You think, what more could you possibly say on Purim? And Tzaddikim say, the hero of Purim is Mordechai. Osios is Drachim. There's many Drachim that emerge from Purim. Every door has its own Derech in Purim. Yeah, so the Vilna Gaon says, you got to look at every letter. Mamish, every letter is a sod. So had in Chazal, what did they see in the Pasuk? Vayom Emuchan. Haman spoke. Maybe other people spoke also. How do you know he spoke first? How do you know that he's a Baal Gaiva? So says the Gaon, look at the Pasuk carefully. V'nira shediyuka mehadichsiv. Lifnei ha-melech v'hasarim. He spoke lifnei hamelech v'hasarim. In the presence, the Pashup Shah would be, in the presence of the king and the officers. The only one says, no, lifnei means he spoke before them, he spoke first. How do you know? Lifnei could just be in the before, I'm speaking before you right now. So the Gras says, no, look carefully. The pshita lifnei asarim amazos. We know he's already physically standing in front of the officers, because the Pasuk says, vayomer hamelech ha-chachamim, ki kein dvar hamelech lifnei kol yodei das vadin. Hayoshim Rishon of Amalchus. The Pasuk already says in Pasuk Yud Gimel that this is taking place in the presence of the king, in the presence of the officers. So why does the Pasuk also have to say Lifnei Hasarim? You already told me in the presence of the officers. What's the second Lifnei Hasarim? It must mean that Haman, being the big Baal Gaiva, the Amalek that he is, right? Lifnei, he spoke first. He went first. And from here Chazal say, Ahediot Kofetz LaRosh. A foolish person is always the first one to comment. A smart person, again, sits back, he listens, he has humility. The gaiva of Haman is the lifnei asarim. He went and spoke before everyone else. He already told us we're in the presence of the sarim. So what's the lifnei? The extra lifnei. The extra lifnei is what? Not just, again, geographical location, right? But he was the first one to speak. And that's the gaiva and the stupidity of Haman. And of course, that was his downfall. That Achashverosh would later regret the fact that he killed Vashti, and he would take out his anger on Haman. It's part of the reason that Klal Yisrael were matzliach, because of the stupidity of Haman. Okay? When Haman speaks, he says, you got to realize, not only did Vashti disgrace you, the king, but Vashti also disgraced other people. This is bad for everyone. So I'll ask you a simple question, says the Vilna Gaon. Right? The king is so hurt that he's raging inside and out. So you come along and you say, no, don't take it so personally. Vashti, she insulted everyone. So the king would say back to Haman, I don't care what she did to other people. I care what happened to me. Right? Someone's coming to you, Matt, someone comes to you and says, I was recently diagnosed with a very serious illness. So you say back to them, well, you're not the only one who's sick. That's not what they want to hear. Achashverosh says, can you believe what Vashti did? Haman jumps up and says, you should just realize, Achashverosh, it's not only you, other people are also insulted. You know, all the noblemen who didn't get to see Vashti undressed are also upset. That's not the right answer. Why would Haman say, Lo al melech levado, so Vashti? Vashti didn't only sin against you, it was other people who were also upset the way things worked out. Are you making light of my pain? That's what Achashverosh would say. Why would Haman say such a thing? So here's the answer. When a king makes a decree, and we see this struggle throughout the Megillah, you can't really undo the decree. If you read the Megillah carefully, B'darach HaPshat, forget Chasidus, Pnimius, the Gra's teaching here, Pnimius HaTorah, Pasha Pshat, if you read the Megillah carefully, one of the big problems is that when a king makes a decree, he can't rescind the decree. He can't take back the decree. So if you realize, you pay attention, it's super strange. And there's a whole mahalach in it, B'darach HaPshat, not for now. But what happens in the end of the Megillah? What does Achashverosh's second letter say?
He gives them the right to defend themselves.
Shkoyach. Someone's going to kill you. Hold on, let me just ask the king if I'm allowed to shoot back. I'm allowed to take out my sword. Who's not going to defend himself? Why would you not defend yourself? The king gives you a shus to defend yourself. He can't take back the decree that you're supposed to die, but he gives you permission to defend yourself. Right? Pasha pshat, it's very hard. Okay? There's answers to that, b'derech pshat. But the Gra says Haman was trying to get the king to paskin. Think about it. If Vashti's crime is only against the king, so who's going to be on the beis din? King can't be on the beis din. Right? King can't sit on his own trial. He can't be one of the judges in his own trial. So Haman says, Achashverosh, you have to realize, what Vashti did, it doesn't only affect you, it affects other people. And I want you, the king, to be on the beis din, right, to make a ruling the way that Vashti harmed these other people. Essentially, what Haman's trying to do is get the king to start issuing decrees that can't be taken back. If Achashverosh is the only one who's offended here, so they'll get another group of beis din, they'll issue their decrees, but later that could come undone. Haman is trying to manipulate Achashverosh that he should make rulings in his anger that can't be taken back. And his hope is that that will actually affect the Jewish people later on. Let's read it inside. Okay, turn the page, and I'll just read the answer inside. Again, the question is, why would Haman try to limit the pain of Achashverosh? Oh, don't worry, it wasn't all you, other people were also insulted. The pshat is that he wanted the king to issue decrees that he couldn't rescind. Turn to the top of the next page. Pei Beis, Perish, Im Yotza Dvar HaMalchus, Oz Bevadei Lo Yavor. If the king issues a decree, then it can't be violated. Achmachmas She'ein HaMelech Yachol Leishev Al Kisei Din. However, the king himself can't sit on the Beis Din, right, for that which happened to him, what Queen Vashti did to him. He's on trial, right? He has a claim against his wife. He can't be the judge also. So therefore, Haman tries to say, L'chein amar memuchan, lo al melech levado of Sovashti. Vashti's criminal behavior wasn't only against you. Ki al kol asarim. And therefore, the king is going to sit on his throne in his anger, start issuing decrees, and guess what? Haman will later use that power, manipulate the king to give him a decree, to kill the Jewish people, which is not able to be rescinded. And therefore, the only way for Klal Yisrael to get help from Achashverosh is that he gives rishus for them to defend themselves, which is very shver. So again, you see the creativity and the manipulation of Haman to try to what? To try to get Achashverosh to issue decrees, which in the end he'll use against Klal Yisrael. Okay? All right, the next piece I'm going to also say a little bit outside. Kuf Lamed Tes. The pasuk says, Ish Yehudi haya b'Shushan Abira u'shemo Mordechai. There was a man, a Jewish man from Shushan, his name was Mordechai. Ish Yemini. Ish Yehudi, Ish Yemini. So which is it? Is he from Yehuda or is he from Binyamin? The Gemara says, which is it? Gemara daf Yudbezim Yudbez. He's called Yehudi, is he from Yehuda? He's called Ish Yemini, is he from Binyamin? So the Gemara answers, Mordechai was crowned with titles. Mordechai Muchter Bini Musohaya. Mordechai had many names of honor. So he's called Ish Yehudi, and he's called Ish Yemini. So, says the Vilna Gaon, everyone in the Megillah is called Yehudi. What's the Chiddush Yehudi? Everyone's called Yehudim in the Megillah. Right? So why is that a Ish Yemini, he's from Binyamin, okay, maybe Sheikh is to Shalom Melech, it's royal, I don't know. Maybe that's a praise. But Yehudi, that's Mamish, that's not a praise of anyone. Everyone's called Yehudi. So it's a Muchta, he's crowned with titles. Yeah? Rabbi, doctor, esquire, PhD, those are titles. Some people want them, some people aren't so impressed by them. Yeah, but those are titles. To call someone a Jew, when everyone's called Jew, right? Is that a title? So, okay, so Baal Shem Tov Dikavar would say, yeah, you're called a Jew, right? You can be the God of the door, but you're called Ish Yehudi. That's the biggest praise you can get. You're a Yid, right? Okay, so you're a much bigger tzaddik than everyone else, but the bottom line is we're all Yid. Okay, that's what the Baal Shem Tov probably would say. I don't think the Baal Shem Tov says that, right? But that's like a Baal Shem Tov Dikavar. Yeah? Says the Gra, that's not the word that Chazal are picking up on. Ish is a title. Yeah? Hashem Ish Milchama. Ish means not just a man, person. Ish means a person. The capital P, a person. Oh. So Ish Yehudi Ish Yemini. Is he Ish Yemini? Is he the head of Shevet Binyamin? Or is he Ish Yehudi? Is he the head of the Jewish people? Answers the Gemara, both. The Vilna Gaon says, before Klal Yisrael were scattered, when the tribes each had their own tribal territory, he was Ish Yemini, he was the head of Shevet Binyamin. And each tribe had their leader, had their head. But once Klal Yisrael were in Golus, and they needed Mamish, a leader, he became Ish Yehudi, he became the leader of Klal Yisrael. So those are the titles of Mordechai. Prior to Golus, he was Ish Yemini, he was the head of Shevet Binyamin. But when Klal Yisrael were in trouble, Mordechai, Tzadik Ames, Mordechai, became Ish Yehudi, became the leader of Klal Yisrael. And that's Mamish, the title. It's not the word, it's not Yehudi or Yemini that the Chazal are picking up on, it's the fact that it says Ish. It's really, Ish is a praise, right? Tzadikim said, when it says about Noach, what were the praises of Noach?
Oh, Ish Toy.
He's Tzadik, he's Tamim, right? But the Leiv Simcha, the Ger Rebbe says he's an Ish. Before he's a Tzadik, he's a Tamim, he's a person. To be a real Yid, a person has to be a person. You can't get too many steps ahead. I want to be a Tzadik. First be a mensch, be a person. Be a human being who's in control of his himself. Be tzaddik, a tamim. These are madregos. Be an ish. Yeah, take responsibility for yourself. So Mordechai was an ish. Not just tam an ish. Ish Yemini, he was the ish of Shevet Binyamin. And then later he became even greater an ish. He became the ish of all the Yehudim. Okay? All right, here's an interesting one. Was Esther pretty or not? Was Esther beautiful or was Esther not so beautiful? So if you look in the Gemara, Kuf Mem, this is Simon Kuf Mem in the Kol Eliyahu, okay? Says the Vilna Gaon in the next piece. The Pasuk says that Esther's name was Hadassah hi Esther. Hadassah is Esther. So the Gemara says, why is she called Hadassah? Some say she was green like a Hadassah. She had a greenish complexion, which is not so attractive. The Gemara in Megillah says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Esther Yerak Rokes Haisa. Esther was a little bit green like a Hadassah. Yeah, like Hadassah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on her, Chut Shel Chesed Mashuch Aleha Me'is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem watched over that every person thought she was the most beautiful lady. So Achashverosh said, wow, she, of all the beautiful women who came to the beauty pageant, Achashverosh chose Esther. Naturally, she would not have been the top pick. But Hashem caused Chut Shel Chesed, a strand of kindness was placed upon her, that she would be beautiful in everyone's eyes. And Achashverosh fell in love with her. So says the Vilna Gaon, who would want to say a pshat like this? The pasuk says Hadassah is Esther, so the pasuk pshat is Hadassah is another name for Esther. Some say she was medium height, like a Hadassah, not too tall, not too short. Okay, it's a strange pshat. Why would you want to say, oh, she's green? She's green like a Hadass. What's forcing you to say that pshat? Why is there Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha say she's be'etzem? She's ugly. You read the pasukim. She wins the beauty pageant. No, really, she's ugly. But Hashem made her look attractive. What's the pshat? Why would Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha want to say that? So the Gemara has a great pshat. The Gemara says Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is lishitasa. This opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha that Esther was green follows another opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha in the Gemara in Bava Basra discusses when did Eov live? The Gemara has a whole slew of opinions when Eov lived. Did Eov live in the time of Avram, of Yaakov? When did Eov live? Was he in Yotzei Mitzrayim? When did Eov live? Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, Eov lived in the time of the Purim story. It's wacky. If you've ever learned Sefer Job, yeah? If you ever read the story of Eov, right? That took place during...
A minute, take him
now. Okay. Strange. That's Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's opinion. So, Chavis, listen. What do we know about Eov's daughters? The Pasuk basically says it, but the Yerushalmi and the Medrash elaborate on it. They were the most beautiful women ever. There was no one as beautiful as them. The Pasuk says, he quotes the Pasuk, five lines from the end of the paragraph, or the end of the column. By Eov it says, V'lo nimtza nashim yafos kibinos Eov b'chol ha'aretz. So it says of Yeshua ben Karcha, hold on a second. If Eov lived in the time of Achashverosh, and Eov's daughters were the most magnificently beautiful women of all time, there was no one in the land, so why didn't they win the beauty contest? Achashverosh probably took Eov's daughters to the beauty contest also. Right? Esther must not have been as pretty as Eov's daughters. Maybe she was even Hadassah. Maybe she was even had a greenish complexion. Well, wait a minute. Then how did Esther win the beauty contest? Must be she was actually green. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on her. that it was mashach a chut shel chesed upon Esther that she would win. Says the Vilna Gaon, al karchach tzarech lomer. Davi Yafos Yoser Gam Esther Malka. The daughters of Eo were probably more beautiful than Queen Esther. So how did Esther come to be selected if she's green? Hashem had Rachmanis on her, and that's how the pasuk says. Vatisa Chesed Lefanov. Hashem made Chesed go before her, that Achashverosh would love her the most, even though, again, in terms of physical attraction, she was not the most beautiful. In the footnote here on page Pei Gimel, it says this answers the Maharsha's question above a Basra. Yeah?
You're saying that the Chesed was on Esther?
Right.
Or the Chesed, that she would win the beauty contest, and then
yeah, Hashem had mercy on her that in an irrational way she would win the beauty contest.
So that the Jews would be safe?
Correct.
Then that's Chesed on the Jews.
Okay. Right. Okay, Esther's a tragic story. That's true. The story of Esther herself is a very tragic story. Yeah? Kasher avadati avadati. She says to Mordechai, this is it. Until now, every time I was intimate with Achashverosh, I was raped. Halachically, I'm still permitted to you. Right? A woman, other than a Kohen's wife, a woman, God forbid, who gets raped, is still permitted to her husband. If a woman cheats on her husband, they're not permitted to each other anymore. A woman who has an affair, a Jewish woman who has an affair, is no longer permitted to her husband. So when Esther willingly walks into Achashverosh, knowing that he's going to sleep with her, that's considered an act of willingly... She was married to Mordechai. Mordechai was her cousin. Mordechai was not her uncle. People get so confused. I don't know why. Read the pasuk. Mordechai was Esther's cousin. They were married. So Esther says, Mordechai, if I go in willingly, like you're sending me, we're done. And Esther herself is a very tragic story. But the chut shel chesed is that, yeah, I guess in the context of the story, she's supposed to win the beauty contest. But it's a fair question. Okay, but look at the footnote. The Marsha in Bava Basra asked the question, right? Why didn't Marsha ask the question in Bava Basra? What does it say in Bava Basra? In Bava Basra it says that Eov's daughters are the most beautiful. And it also says that what? That Eov's daughters were in the time of Achashverosh. So the Marsha says, why didn't Eov's daughters win the beauty contest? And this is the answer. The answer is they were the most beautiful, even more beautiful than Esther. But Esther won the beauty contest because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed. So that's why Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha had to say Esther was green. Right? He can't say Esther's the most beautiful person in the land. Because he himself, Lishitaso, holds that Eov lives in the time of Achashverosh, and Eov's daughters are the most beautiful women in the land. Yeah?
Why does it should have to be green? She just doesn't need to be the best.
Okay, but then why does the father say Hadassah? No, so you have to explain. So Hadassah means she had a greenish complexion. It doesn't mean she was the ugliest person ever. It means that she had a... Okay, so that they don't have to believe that Eov's daughters, who were apparently so beautiful, were at that time. Okay. It's interesting pshat. It's a very interesting pshat. Okay? The next one, I think, is a big chesed. I've always seen nice pshatim, ramazim. Okay, gavaldik, beautiful Torahs from the Gra. I would never, chas v'shalom, make light of any of these. They're brilliant Torahs. But the kuf mem aleph is mamash chizik dekuvah. Okay? And it's based on a strange medrash in Esther Rab. Okay? The medrash in Esther says the following. Listen to this medrash. B'shah shenechtemu osan ha'igros v'nasnu bi'ad haman. When Achashverosh signed the letters and handed them over to Haman, this was the end of Klal Yisrael. Mordechai never gave up hope. Ra'a Mordechai shlosha tinokos shayuba mi beis ha-sefer. Mordechai saw three little Jewish kids who were still learning Torah. Again, they were innocent. They're little kids. They don't know what's about to happen to Klal Yisrael. That's the beauty and the sweetness and the tmimus of a kid. So these little three kids came out of yeshiva that day. V'rots Mordechai achareya. Mordechai ran after them. Kaven shigia Mordechai etzal tinokos. When he finally caught up to them, he said, tell me, what did you learn in school today? What did you learn in yeshiva today? Maybe it's a simon for Klal Yisrael. Shal le'echad mehem. Psuk li psukecha. Right? Meaning, say over your pasuk. What pasuk were you learning in yeshiva today? Amar lo, so the first child said to him, al tira mipachad pisom mimishos resham kisavo. Don't be afraid if a holocaust is coming. That's what the pasuk means. Don't be scared. So Mordechai said, gevaldik. It's good. It's a good sign. He asked the next child, Pasach Hasheni Va'amar, he said to the second child, what did you learn? He says to him, Va'amar, Ani Karisi Ayom, what did I learn today? Utsa Eitz of Esufar. Davru Davar V'lo Yakum Ki Manukel. Right? The plans of the enemies will be overturned because God is with us. Psh, Gvaldik. Pasach in Yeshaya, Gvaldik. Because the third one said, right? You recognize these, of course, from the end of Aleinu. We put these into Aleinu, maybe based on this medrash. Yeah? The third child said, Vad zikna ani hu, vad seva ani asbo, ani asisi, vani asa, vani asbo v'amal. I'm going to carry, I'm going to push, I'm going to continue to bear the burden. It's basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to us through the Navi that I'm not going to give up on Kais. And Gvaldi, every pasuk is great. But they're each a little different. Don't be afraid of the Holocaust that's right around the corner, God forbid. Yeah? The second one says, don't be scared of the enemy's plans that are going to be torn up. And the third one says, even though when I get old, I'll still have the strength to carry on. My soul are going to survive. Even as we schlep along throughout history.
Can you beat the second one?
Yeah, the second one was Utsu Eitza Visufar. Right? When the enemies have Eitza, when they have advice, when they have plans, they're going to be overturned. And whatever they plan to do is not going to come to fruition. Ki imanu kel, because God is with us.
Always thought it was one paragraph.
Okay, so it's three different psukim. It's a little mishle and two pasukim in Yeshaya, but are spread apart a little bit. Okay? So when Mordechai heard this, Kevin Shishama Mordechai, he's all the medrash. Kevin Shishama Mordechai kach, sochak, he smiled, he laughed, by a somach simcha gedol. Mordechai said, Gevaldik, just what I wanted to hear. Right? The children, we never give up. The youth always have perspective. Okay? Amar lo Haman, so Haman saw this apparently. Mahu zos ha-simcha shesamachta le-divrei ha-tinokos halalu. Haman says, well, this is your hope? Some kids learned some psukim. What's the big joy that these kids said to you? Amar lo, al-besuros tovos. She-besuruni shelo efchad mena eitza ha-ra she-ya'atzta alinu. So he says, what do you mean? You didn't hear what the kids said? They told me that I don't have to be afraid of the great plan and the advice that you suggested to Ahasuerus to try to destroy us. Okay? So says the Vilna Gaon, what are these three psukim? Each one is obviously a different nekud of how we survive against the Malach. What's the pshat in each of these things? Yesh lahavin lama ramzu lamordechai shlosha psukim elu sheim iksuvim minaviyim. Why three different psukim? Why not bring a pasuk in Torah that gives chizah? Pasuk in Mishlei, two psukim in Yeshaya, halokama psukim yesh b'Torah. There's many psukim in the Torah talking about Klai Yisrael survival. What do you need these psukim? What's the secret of these psukim? So the Gross is a Gavaldic Pshat. The Gross says, we encounter Amalek numerous times in the Torah and Tanakh. Now, again, we could argue there are other times, but these are the three that he points to. Ha'echad b'parshas b'shalach. Parshas b'shalach, v'yavu Amalek, v'yilachem im Yisrael b'refidim. Right? The first time we encounter Amalek, we left Mitzrayim, Amalek comes and attacks us in refidim. The second time we encounter Amalek is in Chumash Bamidbar. Really, where in Bamidbar? The Pasuk says that the Vayishma Aknani Melech Arad Yoshev HaNegev, he hears that Klal Yisrael is coming their way. So the Medrash and Rashi tells us that the Yoshev HaNegev are Amalek. That the Amalek people disguise themselves hoping that Klal Yisrael wouldn't be able to recognize them, because when you daven against the enemy, you got to know who your enemy is. Right? If you're fighting against the French and you daven, Hashem should save us from the Russians, that's not going to help. Tefillah has to be very precise. So the enemy, Amalek, tried to trick us. They were hoping that they would disguise themselves as Canaanim. The Jews would daven, save us from the Canaanim, when really they should be davening, save us from the Amalekim. The end of the story was, Rashi tells us in Bamidbar over there, that Klal Yisrael davened, Hashem save us from the enemy. And it worked. Okay, but the second time we encountered Amalek was Amalek in disguise. Maybe that's the whole secret of Purim costumes. There's a lot to think about there. The third time is Haman. The third time is the Purim story. Now you can say, what about Shaul and Agag? Right? What about the psukim at the end of in Devarim and Kisei? Okay, these are the three that the Grub points to. So how do each of these psukim respond to a different type of Amalek? Says the Vilna Gaon, turn the page. It's like Gvaldik. Look what he says. Turn to the last page. Grub says, what was the first pasuk? Say it a little bit outside for the sake of time. The first pasuk was, Al tira mipachad pitom. Don't be afraid of a sudden attack. We show us Rasham Kisavo. Where was the first Amalek? When we left Mitzrayim. A little fledgling nation, 210 years of slavery, and Amalek out of nowhere, Vayavo Amalek v'yilachem Yisrael. Everyone else is scared of us. Hashem did miracles for Klal Yisrael. Amalek attacks us very suddenly when we leave Mitzrayim. So what did the first Tinoch say? Al tiru mipachad pitom. Don't be afraid of a sudden attack. The first time Amalek attacked was very sudden. Tinoch said, don't be afraid. Asher karucha baderech, right? Sneak attack on the road. Don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about that, Amalek. Gevaldik. What did the second kid say? Utsa eitza v'sufar dabru davar v'lo yakum kimanu kel. When the enemy comes with an eitza, with a different type, not a quick attack, but a sneak attack. When the Amalekim disguise themselves with the whole cheshbin, they're going to daven to God to destroy the wrong nation. Malek's plan is going to work. The second kid says, no. Utsa eitza, they're going to plan v'sufar. But it's all going to fall apart. Right? And it did fall apart. The Jews daven, Hashem, save us from whoever this is. We don't know who this enemy is, or save us, and it worked. The third time is Haman. What did the third kid say? Va'adzikna anihu. Even when I grow old, I'm still going to carry Klal Yisrael. It's Hashem, so to speak, speaking. Right? And Hashem says we're going to this plan called Klal Yisrael is going to last. The Medrash says that Haman said a very nasty thing about Rabbanu Shlom. Haman said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish God is old. He's run out of energy. They said to Haman, you're going to start up with the Jewish God? Do you remember what happened to Paro? Do you remember what happened to Sancheirov's army? You're going to start, he said, nah, the Jewish God's old. He's out of energy. Right? The 70 years were up between the two Golios, between the destruction of Bayis Rishon and the plan to build Bayis Sheni. God forgot, he's old, he's tired, he's a sleepy God. Right? The God of the Jews is fast asleep. So what did the third kid say? The third kid said, God doesn't sleep. Right? Va'adzikna anihu. That even when Hashem, throughout history, Hashem's always going to come to the rescue. Right? Ani Hashem lo shanisi. I'm God, I don't sleep, I don't change. Right? Hashem is always there. So each of these psukim was a different response. The first one responded to the sudden attack of Amalek in Parshas B'Shalach. Don't worry about it. Atiru mipachad piso. The second one says, sometimes Amalek comes with a sneak attack. Amalek says the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah dresses himself up in all different ways. Sometimes the Yetzirah pretends that he's your friend. Sometimes the Yetzirah makes the taiva look so attractive, and then afterwards you're kicking yourself. Such an idiot. Why did I fall into that taiva again? Right? He comes in, don't worry, Utsa Eitza, he's got all sorts of plans, but so far it's going to fall apart. And then the third time, when Haman himself tried to convince people, we can kill these Jews, that God has given up on them, he's old, he's tired, he gave up on them. Vadzikna anihu, vadseva in old age, I'm going to continue to carry Klal Yisrael. So Mordechai took an unbelievable chizik from these three kids. Okay, last one for tonight, and then we're going to stop, and then those who want to catch Marav at 10, we'll do it very quickly. Kuf Mem Beis. Okay, Esther invites Haman and Achashverosh to her party. So the Gemara says, what was Esther's plan? Why did she invite Haman? So one opinion is, she was luring him into the trap. One opinion is, she didn't want to make herself conspicuous that she's a Jewess. Right? What did she have against Haman? She didn't want to act like she's a Jew. The Gemara gives a whole bunch of answers. The Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying, if I would have been there, I would have said the following answer. This was Esther's plan in inviting Haman and Achashverosh to the party. This is Gravar. A Vilna Gaon Vart, only the Gra can say such a Vart. The Gemara in Psachim says that if a woman who's a Nida walks in between two men, now this is a real thing. This is, I don't know if it has the full, I don't know if the Gemara applies literally today, but it's a serious thing. You have to take this seriously. You're not supposed to walk between two women. A man shouldn't walk between two women. If I'm ever cornered and I have to walk, I'll try to walk around. If I'm really stuck and I have to walk between two people, right, the eitzah that some of the poskim say is that you should like hold something by your side, like make like a mechitza, like a safer, even your cell phone if you're really desperate, whatever it is to make a blocker. Now, why is that so serious? So the Gemara talks about it's kasha l'shicha, cause a person to forget their Torah. That's the smallest thing. Maybe it's the biggest, but maybe it's the smallest of the problem. The Gemara in Pesachim says, if you walk between an isha nida, if it's in the beginning of her menstrual cycle, then one of them is going to die. If it's the end of her menstrual cycle, a fight's going to break out between them. The Gemara says in Megillah, on Daf Tesvav, when it says that Esther trembled, the Gemara says, she pierced a nida, she became a nida. So she said, I've got a plan. I'm going to invite Achashverosh and Haman to my party, and I'm going to walk between them. And Mamela, one of them will either die. If Haman dies, Gavaldik. If Achashverosh dies, then the decrees are batel. Right? Like the Gemara in Tana says, if a king makes a decree and he dies, the decree is batel. Or they're going to get into a fight. That's the other possibility in the Gemara in Pesachim. That if she's at the end of her menstrual cycle, then a fight will break up between them, and maybe Achashverosh will get angry at Haman, and it'll unravel the plan. But the Gra says, had I been there in these Tanaim, we're discussing why would Esther invite Haman to her party, the Gra says, this is the Peshat of her said. Esther knew she was a Nida, she knew the Gemara in Pesachim Kufiyat Aleph, that a Nida could kill or cause a fight, and she figured, I'm going to use that technique to destroy the enemies. And this is the Bekiyas of the Vilna Gaon.
Next level.
The last one is the Vart that we said the other day in Shir, with the Shenemar and the Chsiv, the Kimu V'Kiblu, the Kriya and the Chsiv. So we'll save that and people get tomorrow. But anyways, Mirtz Hashem, all of these brachos and secrets of the Megillah should come alive. And the Yeshua that the Vilna Gaon uncovers for us then should be parallel in the times.
So a man
walking
between two people?
A woman walks between two men when she is in her menstrual cycle. So
and
either
same
one of them. Yeah, and it's also right. So that's it goes in both directions. The Gemara says if a woman walks between, that's when it's going to kill or cause a fight. If a man walks between two women, cause him to forget his Torah. It's not a good thing.
Okay, I heard. If a woman walks in between two men, they ruin